Please join with me now in the responsive lesson from the Book of Psalms. The Lord reigns and is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed and is girded with strength. The Lord has established the world. It shall never be moved.
Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voices. The floods lift up their roaring.
Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty.
Your decrees are very sure. Holiness fits your house, O Lord, forevermore.
Our Old Testament scriptural blessing is taken from the Book of Kings, the first book of Kings, the 17th chapter, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town of the gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar, so I may have a drink?" As he was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And I then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord, and God will give rain to the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by his prophet Elijah. The blessed word of Almighty God. The saints of God cried out, Amen.
It is a very great pleasure and a real joy to introduce to you and to those who listen by radio the Reverend Bishop F. Herbert Skeet. Methodists have a way of moving their bishops, and so, having had 8 years in Philadelphia, Bishop Skeet is now assigned to be the president and residential Episcopal leader of United Methodists and of the whole of the Christian Church in the Boston area. It includes not only Rhode Island and Massachusetts, all of the state of New Hampshire and Maine, and half of the state of Connecticut. He does have a chance to travel fairly widely. More significantly, he brings tremendous power and leadership with his insights into the gospel and his understanding of the relation of the gospel to the community of people of need. And it is with very great pleasure, sir, that we welcome you to Boston University and to Mars Chapel.
Thank you, my good friend and colleague, Dean Thornburg. As I come on this significant day, the 35th anniversary, the appointment of Dean Howard Thurman, as I think of the history of this place, and the significance of its witness. As I think of persons like Dean McKechnie and others in the audience, I'm reminded of the Mennonite pastor who died and went to heaven, and he had been a tremendous leader in the flood relief program in Pennsylvania after Gloria, the hurricane, swept through that part of the country. And one of his enthusiastic followers invited him to come up front and to meet Peter and asked Peter to allow him to tell of his story in Pennsylvania. And with great reluctance, Peter tried to dissuade him, but the enthusiasm of his friend could not be overcome. And he finally acquiesced and he allowed this Mennonite pastor to say a few words to the saints above. And just before he was about to speak, Peter slipped him a note and said, "Be careful to be modest, for in the audience is Noah." And so I come this morning with the understanding that in the audience are those who know personally of the great and outstanding leadership of Dr. Thurman. This morning we come with the Word of God, a word from the prophet Elijah as he says to the widow of Zarephath, "For thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not be spent, and the cruse of oil shall not fail." My colleague, Bishop Knott, the president of the Board of Global Ministries World Division, shares an experience with a little boy in Brazil called Francisco. Francisco is only 9 years old, and he lives in a small mill town, sawmill town in Brazil, on the dusty side of the tracks. And there he had discovered the mission house on the other side and spends much of his time at the mission house, partly to escape the dust on his side and also the crowded facilities among his brothers and sisters in limited space. But early in his discovery, he came early one morning to the communion service. Without breakfast, he sat in the front pew, and he was very fidgety down through the whole service. And then at the time when the pastor uncovered the big brown loaf of bread sitting on the altar, and after a few prayers, he invited the people in the congregation to come from the back to partake of the bread and the wine. And after a while, Francisco saw big chunks of bread disappearing in the wine and then to the people. And he tugged anxiously at the missionary sitting next to him and asked the question, "Will there be enough bread for me?" What a significant theological insight. Will there be enough bread for me? Thousands and millions are asking that same question. Will there be opportunity for me? The widow of Zarephath had asked that question and had concluded negatively, and therefore she found herself gathering sticks to prepare the last meal for herself and her son, willing at the end of the line to give it all up and die. And here comes the prophet of God, as God always comes into the dead-end situations and experiences of our lives. And the prophet comes and asks for water, the custom of the day. "And as you're bringing the water," he said, "also bring me a piece of cake." And to the widow, this was not a matter of courteous sharing. This was a demand for vital or fatal self-denial. And yet we find the widow responding to this request, for the prophet had assured her that the jar of meal which was left would not be spent, and the cruse of oil, as limited as it was, would not fail. Because the prophet could assure her that the God that he served was a God that made a way out of no way, the widow responded in faith to the request of the stranger before her crucial needs and the needs of her son could be met. And the limited resources of the widow was transformed into an unlimited source of supply. We live in a society where we are to serve number one first and number one only. And too many adults and young people of our time dare to break that trend. It is easy to do what everybody else is doing. Look out for number one. But the people of God are a peculiar people. The people of God are called to be different. We march to the beat of a different drummer. We walk according to the precepts of a transcendent God who calls us to live beyond the expected, for the enhancement not of ourselves, but of others. And history reveals the courage and the creativity of those, even those who are oppressed persons, poor and underprivileged persons, persons with handicapping conditions, who have dared to push back the restrictive boundaries that would have relegated them back of the crowd, to be bearers of unusual blessings to society and to the humankind. At appropriate points, I believe, in our human pilgrimage, God opens before us windows of hope and encouragement. God grants us a foretaste of God's future restored for us. My mother used to say, every now and then, a gem falls from heaven in the midst of us. And today we celebrate one of those gems, the 35th anniversary of the appointment of Chaplain Howard Thurman to this campus and to this chapel. His teleservice touched and transformed the lives of hundreds of students that passed through the campus of Boston University. In his life, we see the hand of God moving steadily to bring him to be the blessings for a world and a society, moving from the time of his birth in the person of his grandmother, who inspired his interest in education from an early age. And then as he struggled to move forward in pursuit of that education and stymied by the lack of funds, a common porter walking along would pay for his transportation to school. And every step we see God moving and in all of his encounters to prepare him for his purpose and for God's will. And even in the bold and creative leadership of President Harold C. Chase, who invited Thurman to this campus, it was a bold and prophetic action that reached beyond the expected of his time to bring unlimited blessings to a campus and to higher education in this city. Thurman's insightful mind was able to put the disappointments and the victories, the sorrows and the joys of life in their proper perspective, with a central and a universal message, a message that with God, the contradictions of life are not final. It is as vital today in our sophisticated technological world as it was 35 years ago, and even as it was for the prophet Elijah. Thurman's witness was built upon a profound basic concept of God's abiding present in the life of every living person. There is a sense of wholeness, he says, at the core of one's being that must abound in all that one does. And since he could not separate himself from God, neither could he be separated from God's people. And so even in the pinnacle of his academic progress and career, he never became entombed in the academic tower and would insist that knowledge is power only when it can be related to daily life. He walked with the princes of academia while he never lost touch with the common person. A scholarly development of faith is good and very necessary, but it is never enough. Until that faith is lived out in the crucible of life experiences as they relate to the service of others and to the human and pastoral concerns, to the commitment of the matter of harmony. As John Cartwright reminds us, that need of life to be in tune with life and with the author of life. Time of discipleship for God's people is found in that divine hand of God moving in a little baby, born in captivity from a mother who dared to live beyond the expected, a mother who refused to give up her little son to be slaughtered, but would rather take the chance of giving him over to be raised in a foreign land of her oppressors. This baby spent his whole life looking and yearning for identity and a home, and often asking the question in his pilgrimage, "Will there be a home for me?" The irony of Moses' struggle as the instrument of God and for the liberation of his people. Some may say that he ended up as being granted only the privilege of viewing the promised land and home. And yet we see the servant of God in gratitude as he concluded his mission there on Mount Nebo, offering to God a blessing of thanksgiving and a benediction of praise. For the servant of God, it is enough only to see. It is enough only to gaze upon the fulfillment of God's promise. Martin Luther King Jr., one of the products of this campus, also at his Mount Nebo's experience, we hear him also giving the blessing and the benediction. "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. His truth is marching on." A glorious satisfaction for the servant of God. For if we have pointed those we serve in the right direction, if we have pointed those we serve in the direction of God, our Creator, then in confidence and in our trust in the God that we serve, even though the instrument may have its human limitation, we are confident that the grace of the God we serve is sufficient to lead on according to God's will. And Thurman's quest for harmony among humankind is still our unfinished task today. For in spite of the signs of our times, let us live beyond the ordinary and the expected. Let us open our lives to God, the Creator and the Transformer of all human conditions. Let us be God's instruments of love and concern. Lerone Bennett Jr., the famous black historian, captured the vivid and beautiful witness of Howard Thurman. So many different races, he said, and creeds found bread for their spirit from this grandson of slaves who came out of the black religious tradition with a message of hope and wholeness for all men and all women and all people of our world. One wonders, as we study the life of such a giant, as we think of the blessings and the inspirations and the ways that through his witness lives were transformed and still serve effectively today. One wonders how many future Thurmans are snuffed out daily in our times in the most unexpected places of our world by the lack of opportunity, by cultural bigotry and racial prejudice, by poverty, by the rising costs of higher education that limits it to a privileged few. How many young Thurmans are snuffed out in our uncaring process? How many starry-eyed black and Hispanic youngsters are asking today, in this our land of opportunity, will there be enough for me? And the chorus reaches a crescendo as we move to a global perspective, as the oppressed and the suffering peoples of our world look to the heavens with their anguished cry, will there be enough for me? May the God who has acted beyond all human expectations, given up God's only Son as a ransom for your sin and for mine, may that God touch and challenge our lives anew as we move beyond the expected in our times. Wherever we are, let us commit ourselves to bring harmony to our society and to our world. And with the assurance that wherever we start, as God's people, we are assured that God is there to help us in every attempt to wholeness. Jesus reminds us, if anyone would come after me, let him or her take up the cross and deny themselves and follow me. For anyone who seeks to save his or her life will lose it. But anyone who is willing to give up their lives for my sake and the gospel will find it. When in faithful obedience in God's name we seek to serve others, then we have God's assurance, yes, that the jar of meal shall not be spent, and the cruse of oil shall not fail. And we can say with the joyous assurance of the people of God to Francisco's questions, yes, Francisco, there will be enough for you and for all who suffer our inhumanity to each other. For by the grace of God, we are assured that God is still in control of the universe he created, and God will lead us through. And so in confidence we can bow and unite our hearts in prayer together. As we join in prayer in the words of Thurman, and that insightful mind that leads us now to the cross and to the throne of grace, let us pray. O Lord God, in response to the life and the witness of your servant, Howard Thurman, may each contrite heart seek surrender, and each waiting soul find new life. For we pray, O God, open unto us light for our darkness, courage for our fear, hope for our despair. Open to us peace for our turmoil and joy for our sorrows, strength for our weakness. Open to us wisdom for our confusions and tenderness for our toughness, love for our hates. Open to us, O God, thyself for ourselves. Lord, Lord, open unto us. Amen.